Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, May 2nd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 95, the first full paragraph beginning with, "Unless your friend wants to talk further," reading one paragraph ending with, "You will do anything to help." We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Dion R. reading page 164, and Vanessa G. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will... Newcomer greeter this morning is going to be Yvonne A. She's filling in. Thank you, Yvonne. And announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, May 1st, 2025, is 22,396, or 22396. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,399, or 22399. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Rhonda R., a grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Excuse me. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Rhonda R. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, Stephanie. My name is Terry G, and I am from Pensacola, Florida, and I am a recovered food addict. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, the OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever a non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create a service board or committee directly responsible for those they serve. 11, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, TV, and public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all those traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be of service. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then remute your phone. Please press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 95, the first full paragraph beginning with, unless your friend wants to talk further, reading one paragraph ending with, you will do anything to help. And we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. And we'll now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, do not wear out your welcome. Give him a chance to think it over. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. Sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he is likely to say you rushed him. You will be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked for you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. And reflecting on this paragraph, I know for myself, I need to be sure that I'm approaching a newcomer or just someone interested, I'm in balance and that I am well connected to my higher power. So I'm coming from the right spirit. And during our conversation, I listen for my intuitive thoughts, you know, to really be tuned into the direction the conversation is going and would benefit from going if I can help. And as I'm directed to by the text, I am to be focused on offering friendship and fellowship, and yet remembering those things that I know I am as a sponsor. And I would refer back to page 18, and it speaks to it directly, and that is that a man is making, that the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful. And those directions give me good anchoring to work from. And yet I'm holding those healthy boundaries as a sponsor. And I share my experience, strength, and hope, what I did and why and how. You know, I speak about, as just as we are directed, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, so that I can let that sponsee or prospect know, you know, what I did and what my journey was like, and they can hopefully relate in and feel connected to me, and as far as perhaps I do understand what they're going through. And to be sure that my tone is compassionate. You know, it speaks about not being holier than now or from a spiritual hilltop. I can't think that I've got the answers. I've got something to share, and it's up to them if they're interested. And I'm supposed to look for cues from the prospect, because they'll, you know, somebody will let you know. They'll give you the clues as to whether they are interested or whether they are reserved and kind of standoffish about it. And that's my job, to pay attention to that. So the gift here is just to be sure.
I mean, that's time.
Thank you, Stephanie, that I'm being directed by my higher power. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Penny LC. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share during the meeting. And I'll remind you when your time is up. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Diane MC in Chicagoland.
Diane MC in Chicago. Gotcha. And who else would like to share? We have lots of time, guys. Press star one to unmute. All right. Well, while you guys are thinking about it, we'll go ahead and have Diane MC share. Diane, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Diane MC again in Chicagoland. This paragraph makes me mindful of a beautiful gift I've been given through OA of how to relate to people in a healthier way, how to be more respectful. how to put my human ideals into practice. And one for me is, you know, what's in the best interest of this person? So yesterday someone took me up on an offer and I said, if you ever want to talk, and they took me up on it. We did yesterday. And, you know, without this program, I just would have bulldozed. I would have had my own agenda of what I wanted to accomplish, what I want to say, instead of thinking, what's in her best interest? Be respectful. As it says, just offer friendship or fellowship and see where it goes. Because I don't know if she really wants the program, wants to work the steps. I don't know that yet. But I know it's a suffering person. So be respectful of that. Let them talk. So anyway, because of this program, I just come forth with just such a different agenda now. One of the other person instead of my own agenda. And that's it. Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Diane MC from lovely Chicago, Illinois. So who else would like to share? Let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Jan C. from Colorado.
Was that Jan C. from Colorado?
Yes.
Thank you, Jan. Got ya.
Vanessa G. from Mexico.
Gotcha, Vanessa. And if you've never shared, this is such a great time to hit star one to unmute. We would love to hear you.
Hi, I'm Jackie.
Jackie, what's your last initial and where are you calling from?
Okay, my last initial is M, and I'm calling from Northern Michigan.
Okay, gotcha, Jackie, N from Michigan. Got you down. And anyone else? Okay, we'll go with these three. I've got Jan C., Vanessa G., and Jackie N. We'll start with Jan C., followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, and thank you for letting me share. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. And wow, this is quite a paragraph. And what I'm learning as I'm sponsoring is that I pray to ask my higher power what he wants me to say, what he wants me to share about myself. And so I'm finding that, and I used to compare, this is horrible, but I used to compare myself with others and say, well, I don't have that dramatic a story. I wasn't that heavy or I wasn't that horrible. But my story is mine, and I am a compulsive overeater. So when I, as we go through the steps, and as I share how what I'm doing, what my experience has been, it takes so much pressure off of me because I know my job is just to lead my higher power what he wants me to say and let him do the fixing. So it's taking pressure off of me, and I'm just really grateful. So I'm very grateful to be with all of you this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Jan C. from Colorado. Next, we'll have Vanessa G., followed by Jackie N. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. I put my name in without really thinking about this just because of the silence. But, I think the part that really jumps out at me this morning is never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. It's certainly true with myself, and so I can't imagine that it's not true with most other people. I do not respond well. you know, when people talk to me from some type of moral support, you know, moral superiority, I actually don't respond well. If anyone talks to me, you know, giving me directions that aren't sort of borne out by, you know, their own example. And, you know, I probably some type of moral failing in myself or some type of mental failing in myself, you know, that sort of addict, you know, mentality of rejecting everything sort of out of hand before I settle down a little bit and look at it objectively. And, you know, that's gotten so much better over the years, and hopefully I can pass that on to others in a way that, you know, especially new people, in a way that doesn't arouse that same type of antipathy that I used to feel, that same type of out-of-hand rejection just because people were, you know, talking from what I perceived anyway as a moral, from a morally superior or a religiously superior viewpoint. You know, for me, I simply tried to do what was done with me, and that was just a simple leading through the steps. My first sponsor and most of my sponsors since then have been very very careful, or maybe they haven't been careful, maybe they're just God-directed, to show me the step work, and that's it. They didn't talk to me about their, you know, lofty, you know, concepts of God or their lofty morals. They just showed me how to find those on my own, how to, you know, put myself back together with the steps so that I could receive what they had received. And I try to give that out as an answer. I, you know, it's just a willingness that I'm trying to help people come to, and hopefully they've already started much of that work on their own when they ask me to help them, because there's so much to learn and there's so much to find out, and, you know, spiritual awakening is just that. It's an awakening.
Vanessa, that's time.
Thank you so much for letting me share this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Jackie N., you're up. Good morning. Jackie, need you to hit star one to unmute.
Okay, here I am. I wanted to say that, oh, my last name, Mara M. I just want to say that I have experienced people in the program who were my sponsors, and feel like they didn't quite understand the big book and how to treat a sponsee. And this paragraph talks about that very clearly. And what I have learned from the program is how to treat other people when a situation arose in my life. I had something I ordered and I needed, and it wasn't working, and blah blah blah. So my brother-in-law said, "Well, call the manufacturer and give them H." Well, you know what? I called the manufacturer. I took that part of his advice, but I didn't have to be nasty or rude or pushy. I was firm in what I wanted, but that's okay. That takes it's a lot for me just to be firm. And fortunately, it worked out. They're going to deliver the item today, and that's what comes to mind with this paragraph. Thank you, guys. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie M. from Michigan. And if you're just joining us, let me remind you or tell you where we're at. We're on page 95 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read the first full paragraph beginning with, unless your friend wants to talk further, ending with, you will do anything to help. We read and we are commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Donna B.
And Donna, you're from Colorado, right?
That is correct.
All right, perfect. Great. Got you, Donna.
Bruce E., Florida.
All right, Bruce, got you. Bruce E. from Florida.
Patricia B. from Michigan.
I think I heard Patricia B. from Michigan.
P like in Paul.
P is in Paul. Gotcha. Got you, Patricia.
Jody E., California.
I've got you, Jody.
And Deb F., Texas.
All right. Got you, Deb F. from Texas. Anyone else? All right. I've got Donna B., Bruce E., Patricia P., Jody E., and Deb F. We're going to go ahead and start with Donna B., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, calling from Denver, Colorado. And the sentence that jumps out to me is to offer him friendship and fellowship. And I once worked with a sponsor who said to me that I was telling her about the difficulty I was having with the sponsee, and the sponsee didn't want to continue with the work. And her question to me was, have you created an atmosphere in which if she does change her mind or if she does need help in the future, do you think she would feel comfortable calling you? And so, you know, in my experience, the relationship between a sponsee and a sponsor is not always an easy relationship. You know, I think about it from the standpoint that we're both sick people kicking up the dirt of our defects of character, our past, our resentments, our fears, that we're bound to step on each other's toes at some point in the process. And we aren't meant to be BFFs. You know, one of the defects of character that I acknowledge in doing my 10 steps in my nightly reviews is a desire to be liked. And in my relationship with my sponsees or my sponsor, it's less important to be compelled or compulsed to be liked and more to really think about, am I offering a friendship and a fellowship that is inspired by my higher power, that creates a window of opportunity for that person to come back to me at any time in the future, even just to ask a question, even to just check in. To keep that channel of communication open under all circumstances. And so I'd say, you know, I've been in the room since 2001, which is a long time, and this question of the difference between friends and fellows is one that intrigues me. I've had many, many relationships come and go while I've been in the rooms, and I hope that my higher power will inspire me to be on my best behavior to elicit an ongoing openness in the future. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Next, we have Bruce, followed by Patricia P. Good morning, Bruce. And Bruce, if you could hit star one to unmute, please.
Okay, thank you. I did that. Thanks a lot. Sorry for that. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Santa Belle, Florida, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank God for that. Let's see about the sponsee situation. I've had lots of ups and downs on all of that, that's for sure. And I think my ego was the biggest thing that got in the way on all of it, because I thought everybody should, you know, be like me, right? And boy, if they were like me, they'd be a mess. So I've tried to keep a pretty good relationship with the people that I've sponsored. If anybody gives up and quits, I hope it's through their own efforts that they quit rather than mine, rather than giving up on them. So I can hang in there for quite a while with somebody. But there is a point, though, you know, on all of that. I'm doing better today. I've been sick all week. Great to come on this call and mention how sick I am, but I'm very seldom ever sick. I started getting the flu, a week ago Saturday, and geez, I ended up going in the emergency room, and they found out I had cellulitis, which is, we got a new dog, I love him, but he scratched me, and that little varmint, and so now I had two things, and then they ended up giving me antibiotics that I was allergic to. And man, when you got cellulitis, it's like every joint in your body, it travels all through your body, and then it gives you amazing pain in your joints. So I ended up, you know, coming home with that bad antibiotic, and did I get worse. So I'm back in the emergency room, and then they put me in the hospital. But I'm out now. It's like the whole week went by in a whirlwind. I mean, I don't even remember everything that happened. I mean, it just went by. So, but I stayed abstinent through it. If they ended up, you know, they put me down. They thought I was having a heart attack, so they put, I don't know where they got
Bruce,
that
that's
from.
Time. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And so they put me on a low-fat diet, which is fine. I just didn't eat anything. I just anything they gave me that didn't work. I didn't eat. I was able to do that. So I'm very grateful, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Brucey from Florida, and we're glad you're feeling better. Next, we've got Patricia P., followed by Jody E. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Patricia from Barron Springs, Michigan. Grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I had left a visit for you for a while thinking I got discouraged, thinking that some people don't call God, but maybe a tree or something like that. But I just needed to come back. And while I was taking snacks, I needed God to help me to not eat the snacks. And he ended up helping me to be nauseous when I partook of that. And one day at a time, he helped me to be recovered. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia P. from Michigan. Next up, we've got Jody E., followed by Deb F. Good morning, Jody.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. Very grateful to be recovered this morning, waking up here. So, yeah, do not wear out your welcome. I need not try to promote the program. I want to be an attraction, not a promotion. And if I promote it, chances are I'll push them away. Give them a chance to think it over. The disease has its way with us. And I find that once we're introduced to the program, the Overeaters Anonymous, it has its way with us. It once the tools have been even laid at our feet, our disease tends to get worse, not better. So the disease will do much more than I can to convince him that he might need this. He may not. He or she may not. And that's not for me to determine. That's for them and their higher power to determine. Sometimes a man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he's likely to say you pushed him. That's an interesting thought. I can't say that I've ever had that happen, because I do not push people. I think I've learned enough not to do that. I know that I don't need to push people. Again, the disease will push them. Never talk down to an alcoholic. I pray that I do not do that. It's tempting. Once we are recovered and have had a psychic change, it's not difficult to see the disease in another person. It's all too easy. The question is it easy to see it in myself, even as a recovered person? That's what I need to keep looking for. I need to keep looking for the disease in myself. And it comes back. It creeps back. My ego, my id comes back. And I don't want to display that. I don't want that to be running the show, especially not as a sponsor. I want to be friendly. I want to be offering kindness, understanding, tolerance, patience, and love. That is my goal. That is my desire. That is what I want to practice in all my affairs. And especially with the newcomer and my family. So that I need my higher power, as I do with everything else. And I need also to be willing to help.
Jody, that's time.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Next, we've got Deb F. Good morning, Deb.
Hello, everybody. This has been so rich. This is Deb F. from Texas. I'm recovered, not cured, and I'm really grateful to have this way of recovery. And this is such a good topic because I've spent, you know, coming from my own ideas and my own self-will and everything else, I explored all kinds of recovery that wasn't big book recovery. And food plan recovery, and where people can talk down to you or can judge you or whatever. I don't know. It was just, and then constantly, I just couldn't get anywhere with it. I would get sort of somewhere and then, you know, be back in the food or be back in, I didn't even know what my behavior was doing. You know, people sometimes would say, where's your program? I'm going like, what are you talking about? But here it's well outlined. And why does the big book spend so much time, you know, instructing us how to deal with others you know. It's because, well, you know, when we read the resentment prayer, it says the people were perhaps sick just like us, you know. And so I just know that I am grateful to have instruction today. I, who came from a very, very rebel, or, you know, way of looking at everything. And the reason why I keep sponsoring, even if I'm not perfect, I keep learning. I'm the one who's learning. I'm the one who's getting more out of it sometimes than the sponsee. But I keep learning. And this is so, so good because, you know, coming from the background that I did where it was like whoever had the best story won, whoever could, you know, do a one-upmanship would win, you know. And it, you know, and that drama is still going on today, you know, in certain circles in my life. And so it's like, it's so nice to know that I only need to do what my higher power is telling me to do. And then also just take simple direction and have people call me up on my stuff when I'm, you know, doing a 10 step. So it's just wonderful. And then also for me to have grace towards my sponsees because, you know, I have not arrived. I'm just grateful to hear all your shares and I'm learning from you. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb F. from Texas. And we have time for probably about two, maybe three more shares. Who would like to share?
Chanel T.
First name? Got you.
Chanel T.
Margaret O.
And Margaret O. And we can try those two and see if we have time left afterwards. And please let us know where you're calling from. So I've got Chanel T. followed by Margaret O. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Chanel T. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So thank you for moderating. This is Chanel in Washington State. I'm grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. Imperfectly in the sense that I am a human. I'm going to mess up as a sponsor as well. In fact, I owe a couple of minutes. And it was today's reading and shares that helped me realize. I knew. Come on. But it helped me realize, Chanel, you got to do it. You got to do it. In the program, one was a sponsee. So going back to the river analogy, where I was rapidly thrown out of a whitewater raft, and you and the others in the boat were as well, and we were the front boat, and hurtling down that river at a crazy fast speed. You know, what wouldn't have helped is if when a boat caught up to me, they had thrown an oar at my head. It is not going to help if I throw my program at someone who is drowning. That doesn't help. I knock them out with my crusade and my reform, my ideas about how to sponsor and what the big book says and what they need. I don't even know what I need except for God. I don't know what anybody else needs. I don't know what program they need if it's this one. This one works. It's beautiful. It's great. But I don't know what they need. I know they need their higher power. That's it. So am I going to be an example of the light, a conduit? Am I going to try to offer assistance? And I can only offer what I have. I can't offer a helicopter if I don't have one, right? I can only offer that life preserver that I was given. But it's not up to me whether they take it. It's not up to me whether they want to do this with me as their person holding the flashlight. It's not up to me. So when I bring in my ego, which I do sometimes, and it gets in the way, I'm throwing that life preserver at their head and hitting them in the head and knocking them out, hurting them. It's not okay. So I'm calling myself out for that. Most of the time, I have wonderful experiences sponsoring. But I'll tell you what, every once in a while, I do something where I own a mess. I do it imperfectly. And the whole reformer and crusade thing really hits me today because I'm realizing, oh, yeah, I've been doing that a little bit again. I used to do that when I was sure I knew everything when I first got into recovery. And I was like, no, no, no. It's all the big book, and it's all exactly the way I was shown, and it's the only way to do it. They do not know what other people need. The big book works the way that I was shown works. But for me to force it down someone else's throat, for me to hit them in the head with it, not today. So I'm calling myself out with that, and I'm grateful, so grateful for recovery. And with that, I will pass.
And Chanel, remind us where you're calling from.
Oh, I think Sharon.
Washington State.
Washington
State. That's right. Washington State. Thank you so much. Thanks, Chanel T. from Washington State. Margaret O., you're up next. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Margaret O., calling from Connecticut. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be on the line here and to read this paragraph. I am just to the point where I'm starting to sponsor, having worked the 12 steps through the big book with the Vision for You. And, I mean, I've been in OA since 1998, and never really had back-to-back abstinence because I was working it through the 12 to 12s, and, you know, it was kind of like a feel-good, you know, meeting, so good to see everybody and lots of love in the room, which is great, you know, definitely need that. But it's just the structure of Vision is so helpful. I just kind of blown away. I never had the psychic change until I worked the steps through the big book. And, you know, I just learned something from a person who I just started to sponsor, because we were using the 12 steps together that Dawn B. so generously created. And I never noticed that food first drop down. So I did the work on the food first, which talks about eating plans and allergy of the body and the doctor's opinion and all that. And I realized, I just read it this morning, this Rory C. study guide piece, and he talks a lot about fats in food. And I went to the grocery store the other day and picked up one of those, you know, cooked chickens, you know, organic and no antibiotics and all that. And usually I just have white meat chicken that's skinless, you know, and I marinate it and then cook it. But I tried one of these chickens, and, you know, I weighed and measured it, put it into portions, 4 ounces on small plates and saran wrap over the top. And just the fat part of it, I took all the skin off. But it just made the chicken richer to have that it cooked with the fat on. And so I got kind of wigged out with it. I mean, I was like thinking about it and, gee, I can't wait to have that chicken again. And I read this morning from Food First, this Lori C. guide, study guide, and he talks about fat and how that is a trigger. And I realized, okay, I'm not getting those pre-cooked chickens anymore. I'm going to stick to the white meat, skinless, boneless chicken that I typically have, which I enjoy and I don't get crazy over. So working with other people is just an open door to my connection with my higher power and continuing to learn more about the program and about myself and being able to share that with others. That's, you know, just the sunlight of
Margaret,
the spirit.
That's time.
Okay, thanks so much. Bye-bye. I mean,
thank you. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Margaret. Sorry. Are you okay? Margaret, oh, thank you from Connecticut. And that brings us to the end of our meeting. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Dion R., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I will. Hi, my name is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick excuse me, speaking of sick, I'm sorry, Becca. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you, and I'll pass.